Revelation 2, verse 1. This thing say, he who holds the seven stars, circle the word hold. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, circle the word right hand. He who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Wow. So circle these three words, hold, right hand, walk, hold, right hand, walk. And let that fill your mind. You know, Bible talks about imagination. You fill your mind with the truth of God that it begins to give you powerful imagination that turns into revelation. He holds us by the right hand. And he walks in our midst. He never quits. He never let us go. He holds on to us and is deeply involved with us. I'm going to just give you a general description. I'm going to tell you what that means. Especially Jesus who holds us. You know, the Bible mentioned there's about, I'm trying to get it right, about 113 times talk about God that holds us. 132 times. There are different kind of holding. This one is different. This is very precious. There are different kind. When I say it, Annabelle will begin to understand what I talk about. Okay, there are different kind of holding. The holding of a father to a son. We just look at Amos. Holding. The holding hands of the friend. This is the holding of that bridegroom who's passionate and jealous. You know, we can hold. You know why Jesus is so jealous? He's dealing with this issue of first love. When you hold hands, you can feel it. One side is so passionate, the other side is cold. And the Lord is jealous. He's holding. He will not let go. And this is more than just holding of the hand. He's holding this way. Because it's the embrace. It's the intimacy. He's holding. He's holding. Okay. Primarily, this revelation talked about Jesus who is kind and tender towards us and is deeply committed and he involved with us. The Lord is deeply committed to us and is deeply involved with us all the time. It's an issue of whether we don't hold his hand or our hand is pretty cold. When we hold a hand, you know, some of you are husband and wife, right? Once in a while you fight and quarrel, right? Don't bluff, we do have, okay? So there are times that we fight and quarrel. I mean, my wife hold my hand. Well, I'm just hold on, dutifully holding the hand. But it's no passion, no love, no nothing. I mean, it's a little bit like the Church of Ephesus. The Lord grieves, you know. No, I love you. I want to partner with you. No, don't worry. I'm not going to take away your call as a lampstand church, but I want your heart. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to partner with us. That's why he holds us. This is not like kind of possessive, you know. Cannot. I'm holding you. Cannot. No, that is that hold and that embrace. He will not let go because he is our divine bridegroom. More than the holding is more than just that it's more than just the intimacy. He is committed to us. That's why I love the song by Luke Wood, right? He who holds the seven stars on his right hand, he holds my heart. If he holds my heart, I will not fear. I will not fear. Go and search out all the God holds. Just one for you. Colossians 1 verse 17. He upholds all things. The Lord upholds all things. That means what is happening right now, sun is hanging up there. It's called hanging. I call it hanging. Okay. The galaxy is hanging somewhere and so on and so on. It's all because of the Lord. He upholds it. I don't even know how to do it. To uphold this house of prayer, it's kind of like I'm stressed. It's upholding the entire universe. But there's one thing that he wants to hold the dearest and the most important to him. You know what's the one thing they want to hold? Us. Our heart. our heart. So I want you to feel how the Lord feel when the Ephesus church, even though they move in great signs and wonders, their heart will call towards him. There's that distance. If you actually think about it, after a while, then ministry is not worth it anymore. It's called partnership, isn't it? When you're partnering, you're supposed to partner with someone that is dear to you. When you become cold towards him, then we all miss the point. That's why Jesus holds. His right, I don't know, I think his right hand is pretty big, so he can hold. He holds. And also, you know why right hand? Right hand, primarily, whenever talks about right hand of God, right hand means about his strength. He's almighty, he's all powerful. He will not fail. And they talk about he walks in the midst. You know why he walks in the midst? He will never leave us. He's always with us. You know, it's very painful when you love someone so deeply and you are so near, yet the person is so cold. It's very painful. And that's how the Lord actually feels. But he holds us and he wants us to hold him back with that passion, with that love, and so that we partner together. No, don't think of some romantic Taiwanese movie, you know, run together and no. I mean, he's the Lord. He wants to partner with us. And his heart is jealous. He's not angry. He's jealous for that wholehearted love, the first love of the Ephesus church. And he's prepared to shut down everything. I tell you, man, if not for us, that's why I have high respect for Mike. To shut down, a lot of time he shut down many things, you know. It's kind of like for us, hey, better not. This is a very powerful church, you know. He's influencing, you know. If you don't, our offering will go down. If you shut down, offering will go down, you know, revival will close, and attendance will go down. So please don't do anything about it. Please don't do anything about it. But the Lord is prepared to shut down for our heart. That's the Lord. Then when you understand, then you know what really matters to the Lord. No, I'm not saying that ministry is not important, calling, assignment is not important, but it's not the most important. The moment your ministry, your calling is higher than your love for the Lord, then we miss the point. That's why I always say 24/7 house of prayer is not my dream. It's only my assignment. I will be faithful. I will work very hard until he returns. But it does not define who I am. Who I am is, I want to be the lover of Jesus. That is the key thing. He holds us by his right hand. And it's in our midst. Pray for a revelation and an encounter this week until next Friday. Because next Friday is another revelation. You see, that Jesus will come. He's the one who holds your heart. If he hold the seven stars, all things is uphold by him, it uphold your heart. Feel that heart. I think that will spark that passion in your heart for him. That's the key thing. Okay, just go quickly. He who holds, that means he who tenderly care for us, treasure us, and deeply committed to us. Yeah, there are different kind of hold, but this is that commitment of the bridegroom that hold us. Okay, so there are three-fold hold. There's three-fold hold, not stronghold. Stronghold, not good. Okay. Statement of endearment, love, intimacy, and tenderness. Okay, got it? Second, statement of his commitment towards us. He will never let go. He will never let go. But it's very painful, you know, it's very painful when you love someone, you hold on to the hand, but the other side, the hand is totally cold. That's the key thing, okay? The statement of his commitment towards us. Third one, statement of his ability to guide us, protect us, and deliver us. That's why right hand. Right hand talks about his ability. He's strong. He's able to direct us. That's a key thing. And the third one, he walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Wow. I quitted a long time ago. Okay, don't love me. It's okay. I go. He's in the midst. He's in the midst. You know, we can be so near yet so far. If I have time, end with Luke 15. A lot of time, we can be so near to the Lord, yet we are so far away from Him. No, not necessarily about ministry. It can be many things. Our career, our whatever. Yeah, we can be so near, but yet so far. That's the problem with the... No, every time we talk about Luke 15, we focus on the prodigal son. Prodigal son is bad, but the elder son is as bad. One is in the far country. One is in the field and near the house of the father. Yet he is so near, yet so far. A lot of us are so near. It's true, we are so near to God, yet we are so far. Every believer, if you're not intimate with the Lord, that means you are so near, yet so far. We often focus on the prodigal son. We forget about the eldest brother. So near, yet so far. Then all revival, all blessings means nothing. Because we miss the point. Okay, so that's a revelation, okay. Oh, I wish I had more time. Someone write a song, please. No? He who holds by his right hand walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I can imagine his eye, the passion and the grief that is in his heart that I'm holding you, yet your hand is cold towards me. Not that he's angry, because he's passionate, you know, yeah. Okay, affirmations, okay. Verse 2, the Lord said this. You need to, this is very important word. I want to emphasize that next few weeks, I don't have to, okay. He said this, I know your works, your labor, your patience. Circle the word I know, because this is very vital. We will not be able to live the reality of audience of one unless we know this as a truth, as a revelation, as a reality. Everything that we do, He knows. He sees. All the insecurity, all the needing appreciation and so on for many believers and so on, primarily, we didn't have the reality of Jesus know. The Father sees. Because if we are truly doing it for Him, actually, we don't really need affirmation. And it's hard for us to so-called, whether worship, sing, pray, or daily life, living before the audience of one, it will be hard. Unless we have revelation and reality that Jesus knows. God the Father sees. Matthew 6 verse 4. The Father sees in secret. He sees. He knows what you are doing. It's a very core essence revelation that we need. If not, we will never be able to live out the audience of one. Just write this down. No time to turn to it. Hebrews 6 verse 10. Basically, Hebrews 6 verse 10 said this. God said this. If you give a cup of cold water to the poor, one day you stand before me at the judgment seat, I forget. Charge me as injustice. We need to know that. If you know that, it doesn't matter whether big ministry, small ministry. You know, I keep an account myself, not you. I keep an account. How often I come from the very first day, September 6, 2003. You say, wow, you're very legal. They say, no, I want to exchange note with the Lord when I see Him face to face to prove this. Jesus, this is my attendance. Can I see yours? I say, Kei Chong, you missed a few. I say, wow. So that you can sustain, you are doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for anyone. You need that revelation that the Lord knows. Then you can live before the audience of one. You can give money, you can give time, you can help people and so on without needing people to affirm you. Not that we don't need affirmation. Please learn to say thank you. But what I'm trying to say is that if you want to truly live before the audience of one, you need to have that reality. not just reality, revelation. That he knows. Even that little thing, so-called negligible, no one remembers. That's why I get very encouraged when I see the stuff throw rubbish. Just don't throw for me, okay? I'm no mercy. So a lot of time, my wife will ask me, Kichon, how come you don't help? I say, no, I don't want to rob away their reward. I'm serious. Because he sees. But the moment you... Then you lose your reward already. He sees. It's about training our character. He sees. Now I say, Kichon, take advantage. No, I don't use this verse to take advantage because he sees. Well, don't take advantage. He see that you're able to do it. Okay, let's go to the affirmation. Okay, there are five. No, it's very important because that's why it's full of, you can't get very far. You got to keep praying. Right? That's why you got to keep praying, keep praying, keep a revelation. Just now it's revelation of Jesus who hold us by the right hand and stand amidst. Now revelation of he knows. He knows. We need to know that he knows. Not in our mind. Who doesn't know? In our heart, in revelation that we need to know. That's why I have no concern, no worry whether there are people in the room or no people in the room. I'm living before the audience of one. I can preach to 2% in the room. I can preach to 10,000 people in the room. To me, it doesn't matter. To me, there's one major audience. That's it. One person that matters the most. That's it. We need to know. So that your heart will settle. Our heart has a lot of turbulences. It's because we don't know. We don't know. Imagine every time, listen, look. Every time you lead worship, he comes. Aren't you excited? Right? We need to have a reality that everything we do, Jesus sees. He knows. Not in our mind. Amen? Okay. There are five things that the Lord affirmed the Ephesus church, which is very important. Five things. He said, I know your works. I'm going to go quick, okay, because I'm focused on some other things. I know your works, your labor, your patience. Basically, Jesus affirmed them because they were hardworking. They were dedicated to God's assignment and they persevere. They don't quit. These are some things that the Lord affirms. That's why we don't quit. No, that's why I love it. Someone told me this. Just find out the very things that the Lord wants you to do and just do it. That's good enough. That's good enough. Okay, so the Lord affirms them for their work, labor. Patience actually means you can use endurance or perseverance because it's challenging, because they face persecution and so on. Okay, so they were hardworking. They were affirmed for their hard work. They were affirmed for their dedication. Okay, and they endure. They persevere. You know why? The fact that persevere, the word persevere is there, that means it's challenging. You know, ministry is like that. People say, wow, one house of prayer very hard. Of course, it's very hard. If it's easy, many people who have done it already. I'm not saying we have done it. We are still struggling. If it's easy, many people have done it already. Sometimes God does not, he's not so much seeing whether we will achieve the goal. He's wanting to see whether we will persevere. You know why? Persevere is one expression of faithful. Because if you want to be faithful, you're not going to quit. You're going to persevere. You're going to persevere. You're going to persevere. You're not going to quit. You will persevere. Yeah, because a lot of time it's not about the result. Because it's so easy. God snap a finger today, today. Wow, a bit scary. Yeah. You snap a finger today 24-7. Wow, then we're all confused. No? Who should come for what sessions? It's so easy for him. But why does he want us to persevere or fight? Because he wants to see what is our response. That's the key thing. Okay, so that's the first one. Let's go to verse 3. We'll go quickly. Verse 3. You labor for my name's sake and have not become weary. Wow. No. Now this is very important. They maintain their zeal, their fervency, and their diligence in serving Jesus. Because most of the time, people lose their zeal. I've been ministry long enough. I'm in 31 years ministry. I see enough. Okay, first 10 years, wow, a lot of fires. As you go further and further, people lose their zeal. And a lot of people come on this, I've served my deal with it. It's time for me to do my own things. I mean, what kind of response is that? So that is a strength. The Lord is affirming because they were serving. They did not lose their zeal. They did not become weary. That's what we want. Okay. Next one, verse 2. Go back to verse 3. You cannot bear those who are evil. Okay. That means they do not tolerate false ministry or false teaching that promote compromise, primarily doctrine, lifestyle, and moral issue. That's what the Lord wants more and more. God wants us to the issue is not being critical or judgmental or harsh, but the Lord wants us to stand up for truth and righteousness. That's why he rebuked the church of Pergamos and Thyatira. They were silent when they were wrong teaching. People were silent when people are living in sin. That's why I talk about this. Are we God's voice or are we devil's advocate? A lot of time we are devil's advocate. We keep quiet or we kind of, it's okay, don't worry about it. No, this is not about being harsh. This is about addressing the issue. The Lord wants us to stand up for truth, for righteousness, and when people compromise or wrong teaching. Because you know why? If you are silent, we are allowing the people of God to compromise and to live in sin. No, deal with the issue. It's not about getting personal. No, I don't get personal. Often I don't mention name. I mention the issue as well as the teaching or the doctrine. I know many people say, how about Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, where famous Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, do not judge. No, Jesus, you cannot just pick one verse and begin to say that don't judge. You need to understand what that verse means, and also throughout the entire Bible, what does God say? Consistently, God calls us to judge. The whole issue of Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2 is Jesus is not asking us not to judge what is wrong. That's why he goes slightly further. Jesus said, test the tree by its fruit. Test the preacher, test the message. That means judge. The issue of Matthew 7 is primarily don't judge with wrong motives, wrong info, wrong timing, wrong process. Make sure that you get all the information right, then judge. Another thing which is very important about Matthew 7, the issue is also that don't judge in the way when we are not willing to be judged likewise. If you do that, you are a hypocrite. So we understand that, okay? So that's another affirmation. You cannot bear those who are evil, okay? Verse 2. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. That means they have discernment. Discernment, okay? Discernment is one of the most needed thing for the Church of Jesus Christ right now. We need discernment. They are affirmed for their discernment. Last one. Verse 6, let's go to verse 8 and then come back again. You hate the deeds of Nicolaitans. You know what is the deeds of Nicolaitans? Basically, it's this teaching called, some of y'all will be familiar, some of y'all may not be, the teaching of antinomianism. Okay, modern day we'll call it hypergrace. Okay, hypergrace has been around since the first century church. Okay, the deeds or the teaching of Nicolaitans basically is antinomianism. That means doctrine of grace that allow people to continue in sin with no need for repentance. It's been around. You know why it's called Nicolaitans? So remember this guy in Acts 6 called Nicholas? When the church grew, the apostle was very busy, so they choose 7 wise men filled with the Spirit. One of the person, you know, remember Stephen, Philip? One of them is Nicholas. Okay, but Nicholas went astray, so he came out with his new doctrine. Okay, the follower of Nicholas is called Nicolaitans. Primarily, it's the issue of antinomianism, hypergrace. Got it? So these are 5 things that Jesus affirmed that we want to have. Faithful and perseverance in work and labors they have entrusted. Second is they have not lost their zeal in serving God. Third one is that they have discernment. Fourth one is they do not tolerate compromise, and they hate the deeds of Nicolaitans. That means hyper grace. Okay, correction. Next one, correction. Okay, which is the main primary message. Okay, good. I have still 15 minutes. Correction. Because I'm going to give you some questions to ask ourselves. No, ask ourselves. Don't check on other people. It's about asking ourselves, okay? It's a very strong correction, primarily because they have neglected their first love for Jesus. Ministry has become higher than loving Jesus. That's not what he wants, okay? He said this, verse 4. Nevertheless, you know, when you read Revelation 2 and 3, you don't want the word nevertheless or the affirmation then. Nevertheless, Kei Chong, I have something else to tell you. They say, oh, Jesus. Oh, no, here come the nevertheless. Okay, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you. No, they were modern church. They were affirmed for much things. But this one thing that Jesus is not pleased. And he used a very strong word, a strong admonishment. I have this against you. You know what's the thing? Jesus said this. You have left your first love. It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't love Jesus anymore. They have left the first love. It could have been. It may be. But the key thing is this. Jesus is no longer their first love. No longer their first love. Because the church of Ephesus has put ministry, assignment of God in reaching Asia above the heart of love and devotion for the Lord. They have left their first love. Okay, that's why I say this is very strong. Okay, give you one, two, three. Three things, three tests when we have lost our first love. Ask yourself, okay? It's very important because later I'm going to give you that threefold exhortation, three tests in asking yourself whether you have lost your first love. We all need to ask the Lord to give us revelation because we can cheat ourselves. Three, okay? First one is this. First one, okay? The test of whether you have lost your first love. The first one, are we still tender towards the Lord? Are we still tender towards the Lord? Okay, it can be expressed in many ways. Does your heart moves when you read certain scripture, when you pray, or just doing assignment, or just doing duty? Is my heart still tender? People who are in love are very tender to one another. They don't shout, oh, coffee! No, then my wife say, hey, come on, you love me or not? Lost your first love, you know. Yeah, I say, do you want coffee? Sugar? Brown? Or, tender. Is our heart still tender towards the Lord? Second, do we obey or we resist? Or we bargain? Do we obey or we resist? Yeah. Obey or resist. Third one. Do we talk about minimum requirement? These are all very subtle. I use this to check myself all the time. And whenever it happens, I will tell myself, nevertheless, I don't want to wait till the Lord tells me. The third one is, do we talk about minimum requirement? Because love, wholehearted love, does not talk about minimum requirement. I mean, my wife will constantly ask me, how much you love me? I know there's a trick question. Yeah, if I say, they say, you see, can measure one. If I say, don't know, they say, you see, can't tell me. So it's a trick question. I say, I don't know. You know, I cannot measure. No minimum requirement. Okay. Third one is, do we talk about minimum requirement? Minimum requirement. No, that doesn't mean that we are able to fulfill it. But come to the Lord. Not necessarily just come to the Lord. When we love someone, we don't talk about minimum requirement one. You do the most embarrassing thing for someone that you love. Right? I remember, better to say, then my wife going to scold me, say, hey, keep telling everything about me, you know. Yeah, this is how I say it, okay. The first time, no, I know my wife has this requirement. Her first date, someone has to buy 70 stocks of roses. Yeah, 70 is pretty lot, no. Yeah, so but I don't drive, you know, so I have to take MRT. So embarrassing. I'm an introvert. So embarrassing. The only good thing about the 70 stocks of roses is I can cover my face. No one see me. But I do it because I love her. I know I don't endure the shame, you know, so that I can meet her. Okay, yeah. So you don't talk about minimum requirement. That's why then you begin to be able to understand why people will die for Jesus. Martyrdom. It's not about biting the bullets. It's about love. It's about love. Because I've been asking a lot of questions about, you know, recently I've been watching YouTube and so on, because I want to get into the mind of those people who were martyred for Christ. So what did they see? Finally, I understood. It's love. It's love. You would die for someone that you love. That is the key thing. Fourth one. Are you more excited about other things than Jesus? Are you more excited about other things than Jesus? Then you know you lost that first love or you neglected the first love. Got it? Four things? You need me to say one more time? Okay, don't need lah. Okay, everybody's so sober, you know, evaluating. You know. Go home and evaluate lah. Okay, yeah. No, it's because it's for your own heart. Don't do this legalistically, and also understand this. In Christ, there is no condemnation. Even if you don't respond, the Lord still loves you. But see from another aspect, He wants your love. Wow, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Okay, quick invitation. Three, four. Yeah, the other side invitation means about to finish. Right? Three, four exhortations to respond with a warning. It's very important because at the end of the day, we need to check ourselves. But after checking ourselves, we need to respond. Can we agree, everyone in this house? Don't tell people, it's okay, ain't you? No, it's okay. Backslide a little bit. It's okay. Jesus loves you. Okay, no, I'm not saying you backslided. If Ing Chiu comes, hey, I lost my first, I say, Ing Chiu, better go and do something about it. You confess to me. No, don't everybody confess to me. Then I'm very busy. Okay, you confess to me, then I pray for you. I ask the Lord to set your heart on fire again. So don't do this watered down thing. Don't do this devil advocate. Be God's voice. Don't be harsh. Yeah, I know you deserve it. Give you a slap. Don't do that. But let's spur one another. Let's cause each other's first love for Jesus to be set ablaze again. Amen? Okay. So the Lord gave three-step process of restoration. How do you restore back to first love? Which is very important. Very, very important. He gave a very specific three-step restoration with a warning. When the Lord gives warning, it's because He's jealous for our heart. It's not because he's upset, so I'm going to forfeit everything. Okay, three steps. He said, remember, repent, do the first work. Remember, repent, do the first work. Okay, very important. Remember. That means we need to constantly recall, re-examine, evaluate. And compare. No, not compare with one another. Compare about your past season with the Lord. It's very subtle. That's why we need to constantly take time out and ask ourselves, has our heart grown cold? Am I more passionate, more excited for Jesus last month than this month? Then you will respond. It's very subtle, but it's very important. As Paul said, John said, or rather Jesus said, remember. Remember. That's why I give you that four questions to ask constantly. Ask, but don't get into this legalistic thing or get into this condemnation thing. The Lord loves you. That's where we lean on what? Dark but lovely. then you can respond with the confidence, but yet you are zealous about it. You are not passive about it, okay? So remember, that means you recall, remember, compare. It's very important. Is it the moment last week you are more on fire than you are on fire this week? That means you are backslided. I backslided. That's called a spade. Then no, he said, it's okay. Don't be so intense. The Lord wants you to be intense. Why are we advocating compromise, lukewarm? If last week you are more on fire than this week for Jesus, you are backslided, I backslided. That's called a spade. Amen? But there's grace. There's grace. That's the beautiful things about it. The moment we respond, there is grace. Okay, so the first one is remember. Second is repent. Repent. Repent is more than just saying sorry. Repent means you turn. Let's say you're going this way, you're going the wrong way, you repent, that means you turn 180, correct, right? Yeah, not 360. Yeah. Repent means you turn 180 degrees, you turn, and you do something about it. If you have not done anything, if you recognize that you are going the wrong way, that's not true repentance. Repentance means turn, change. In this case, that means if you know that you have lost your first love, what do? You reprioritize, rearrange your time, your schedule to do something about it. It's very vital. That's why I said last week, respond is when? Now. Now. Change takes time. Respond is now. Third one. Do the first work. What is do the first work? The very first priority. The very fundamental, the very basic. Just go back to the very thing that helped you to cultivate your heart of love for God. You know why? It's the same thing. You know what's the same thing? You know what's the first work? When you realize it, actually it's so simple. You know what's the first work? Read the Bible. Pray. Engage the very heart of God. Worship Him. Consistently. That's the first work. That's why I'm pushing us to do that sacred trial. No, I'm pushing up, but everybody has to be willing. It's the basic. But you faithfully, consistent. Don't just do it dutifully or our obligation or legalistically. That's not going to change you. But you use it to engage the very heart of God. Trust me, you will change. You will change. It's just that simple. Christianity is that simple. Read the Bible, pray, spend time with God. You will grow. Your heart will come alive. You want your soul to be restored? Don't save some money. You don't have to go for counseling. How? Read the Bible. The Bible says, Psalms 90, the law of the Lord is perfect, revive your soul. I can pull out many verses. I have enough testimony, whether it's myself or other people. It's as simple as that. It's the Word of God, just that we don't read it. We want a lot of spiritual acrobats and gymnasts and so on and a few turns and so on, but you go back to the first work, we all will be all right. If we saturate ourselves in the Word, in prayer, in the Spirit, we will be all right. That's the key thing, okay? So let's do the first word, warning. Warning. Or else, it's still verse 6. Or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from his place. No, this is not a reference of second coming. No, this is also not talking about Jesus upset, you want to punish. No, he's going to come swiftly to do something. Because he doesn't want us to become numb. If he doesn't take action, we're going to live life business as usual. The more you go further and further and further and further and down the road, your heart will become down and hardened. The Lord is so passionate. He is so jealous. He is going to do something about it. Secondly, you know why he wants to take away the lampstand? Because he doesn't want Ephesus Church to impart the wrong DNA. so that raised up more people who is high on works but low on passion for Jesus. Can I tell you a real truth? Why there's no major revival, the church is not growing as fast right now in Singapore, we are not ready. Because what kind of people are we going to disciple? Loving Jesus or works? That's why the Lord is going slow. He's bringing back. That's why I'm excited. Was it Fan who told me last week that somewhere a church is returning back to emphasize on Revelation 2 and 3? Correct. They got it right. They got it right. Because the Lord is passionate about that. That's the key thing. Then when we are ready, our heart is right. That's where He's going to send people. So that we raise up the kind of disciple that God is looking for. We raised up the kind of bride that Jesus is looking for. The Lord is not looking for mass. Yes, He wants to get everybody saved, but ultimately, He wants disciples. That is the key thing. Okay, lastly, I'm not scolding you. Okay, I'm scolding myself. Rewards. Okay, just one reward. Oh, no, just one reward. I'm sorry. No, there are more than one. I mean, the rewards of overcoming is they will eat from the tree of life. It's both aspect. Okay, every reward is both now, and of course, the fullness is in the age to come. Okay, why tree of life? Tree of life basically talk about that. If we overcome, we actually experience the very life of God which Jesus promised us, John 10:10. I come to give you what? Life. That means we enter into the same quality of the very life of God in the soul of our man. Got it? You say, what's that going to do in intimacy? What is salvation? John 17, verse 3. What did Jesus say? Eternal life is what? To know God. When you walk with Him, when you love Him and plug into Him, that's where you begin to experience life. You got to abide in Him. Not some magical formula or so on. You always have to abide in Him. He abide in you. You experience the life. Actually, it's not that hard. That's the reason why I'm going to get us, it's not a publicity for Sacred Trust. No. So that when we saturate ourselves in the Word, in prayer, in the Spirit, so we are so in Christ. When you're so in Christ, you're going to live in the life of Christ. Christ is always in us. Are we in Christ? Christ is always in us. Are we in Christ? It's not automatic. That's why Jesus said, abide in me and I abide in you. The book of Ephesians is about in Christ. The book of Colossians is Christ in us. When we get saturated, we are in Christ. That's where, let me tell you, you will come alive. You will come alive. So it's depending on seeing this as obligation, or you're seeing this as you're going after your heart that is coming alive. In Christ. Christ is in us. But the Lord wants us to be in Christ. How are we going to be in Christ? We don't fill our heart with prayer, with the Word. No, is it? Yeah, this is legalism. No, this is just vehicle to engage the very heart of God. Amen? Okay, I'm going to end with this. Turn me to Luke. Turn me to Luke 15. Luke 15. I'm going to end with this, okay, about that the famous parable of the prodigal son. You know, I like to retitle it to Parable of the Running God and Waiting Father because of the prodigal son, the younger son, but no, now I'm going to read another second half of the retitlement. It's called Parable of the So Near Yet So Far. No, it's true. We are actually so near to God, but a lot of time we are so far because we never really engage His heart. If you think that the prodigal son is sad, when I read about the elder son, I feel even sadder. This at least the son is in far country. This one is in the field, near to the father, but he was never near to God. He was never near to God. And it's very sad. That's where his heart gets angry, bitter, and so on. Let's read carefully. Then we're gonna close. Let's read Luke 15, verse 25. Now his oldest son was in the field. The youngest son was in the far country. He is in the field. That means he's near. He's always near to the father, but so near yet so far. Listen to this. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, you know. See, that's a good test of when we are detached from the Lord. Because if you read further, he was not very happy when he heard music and dancing. When you're detached from the Lord, your spirit becomes grouchy. You no longer rejoice. You begin to get uptight. When you see other, and easy for us to get into legalism. Legalism is not whether you read the Bible or pray. It's when your heart is disconnected from the Lord. That's when you get graduated, people celebrate, say, wow, no. Everything begins to change. Okay, let's go to verse 28. That's why his expression is this. He was angry and will not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. That's God. He's always drawing us, whether it's the father or the bridegroom. Go and read entirely. Okay, let's go to verse 31. And the father said to him, Son, you are always with me. You are always with me. You know, we always ask the Lord, Lord, are you with me? The Lord say, hey, what kind of question is that? You're always with me, and all that I have is yours. Often we can be so near, yet so far. Jesus is the one who holds us by his right hand. He's tender. He's so zealous. He's committed to us. Let's pray. Let's put your hand in your heart. I want to pray for all that. Revelation. Lord, we thank you for this time. We ask that more than just receiving that teaching or the mere words of man, I pray that you will fill these 7 verses with the spirit of revelation and understanding. Will you personally, as we read these 7 verses over the next few days, even weeks, will you personally speak to us, O God, just like you spoke even to the 2 disciples on the road of Emmaus? Speak to us, Jesus. Will you come, speak to us, and open up these 7 verses with revelation and understanding so that our heart, more than just burn, our heart is stirred and our heart is awakened and our heart turned towards you. Awaken the first love and passion for Jesus. I pray, O Lord, will you visit us? Visit everyone in whatever way that you so chooses, that you are the one who holds us by your right hand and you walk in our midst. Visit us, O Lord, with this revelation of who you are so that our heart is stirred and awakened and encounter you. I'm asking for more than just knowledge, O God. I'm asking for more than just revelation. I'm asking for encounters, O Lord. Let us encounter you who hold us by your right hand. And you walk in our midst. We love you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.